I might finish up my Father's Day sermon today, or it might take one more week. Call it what you will, whatever. It's important to understand these things. Lord used Abraham, and he was a significant figure. And not just to the Jews, not just to the old, but to us. And really, that's the way all the scriptures are. Sometimes it's hard to wrap our little pea brains around it, but it's true. And we've been focusing in on one particular verse about Abraham, though much in the scriptures written, Old and New Testament, the Lord spoke of Abraham quite often as well. Genesis 18 and verse 19, and we've looked at this verse, broke it down, and its parts. Genesis 18, 19, God said of Abraham, "For I know him. For I know him." God knows his elect. He knows his people. He knows his children. We sang that song, "I'm a child of the king." And when did you become a child of the king? In eternity past, when you were elected. You know, I was thinking with that song we were singing, I can't help but think about that illustration I was thinking of too. But I'm a child of the king. I've always been a child of the king by his grace. But I didn't always know that. Other people didn't always know that. God reveals that to us in time. And in the fall, our identification with Adam, we're just as dead in trespasses and sin as anyone. But we're children of the king. And it's revealed in time. And it's, I use that illustration, it's like a young baby that's kidnapped. I don't know, sometimes I make it pirates and sometimes I make it gypsies. We'll just make it gypsies this time. So this young prince, child of the king, is kidnapped by he's raised with gypsies. That's all he ever knew. He thought he was a gypsy. He knew no better. But the king had made a constant search for his son. And he found the son. And then it was revealed. You're a child of the king. You're a prince. He was always a prince. I know the Arminian folks don't like that. It's like you get turned into a child of the king. Or you get turned into... No! We're children of the king. Scriptures make it abundantly clear. Christ came because the children. Didn't say so they could become. He came because the children had fallen and needed to be rescued. They were the lost sheep. They weren't goats that were going to get turned into sheep. They were the lost sheep. Varying a little bit, but that song got me thinking. I'm a child of the king. I'm a child of the king. You know, we were chosen in Christ. That was our stand. That's what we were. But it was not evident until in time it was revealed to us. The Holy Spirit gave us life, faith, repentance, brought us to see that. Christ knew it the whole time. He came for the children. He came for the elect of God. And again, I have hopes for folks that, you know, that they might be his, but how, you know, what kind of God is that came and is just really trying to turn all these goats into sheep? What did the Lord say? You believe not because you're not my sheep. He didn't beg like most of these preachers today. If you'll just believe you can be a sheep. Now, if you are a sheep, you will believe. At some point in time, the Holy Spirit, all the Father giveth me, shall come to me, the Lord said. Those are important things to know. And it's so confusing in the world. And that's the only source of comfort. I don't know about, you know, the Arminians. I'm not saying none of them know the Lord, but I'm going to say this. They cannot know the peace. Those who know of the Lord, that God is sovereign. That He's, and we're children of the King by the grace of God. It's only by Christ. It's only by the election of God. But we're children of the King. And God said of Abraham, "For I know him." God's knowledge speaks of affection. God knew him. He knew Abraham from before the world was. God says to his elect, "I loved you with an everlasting love." And so, of Abraham, we're told that God knew him. He knew him before he was. God said to Jeremiah, "Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee." God chose Abraham and he prepared Abraham. The second part of that verse is, "For I know him, that he will command his children and his household after him." God prepared Abraham for a role, just like he prepared Paul when we study Paul. Now, Paul didn't decide one day when he used to be Saul of Tarsus, all of a sudden, I think I'll get saved here. No, God intervened. And when God intervened, but God used all the background that Saul had had. He was the equivalent. I hate to say that. There's nobody the equivalent. He's the equivalent of what would be a PhD today, but PhDs today, most of them are no better than, you know, post hole diggers. And they're just, you know, it means nothing. But Paul had sat at the feet of Gamaliel, one of the greatest teachers of the day. He'd learned things. God used that. He prepared that. Paul wasn't yet a believer. He was the child of the King, but he didn't know it. No one else knew it. And God prepared him, prepared his life. I look back on my life. I'm sure you can look back on yours. And I think, why in the world? You know? I mean, if it was up to me, I'd never go into the Marine Corps again. I'd never go to college. I'd never go to cemetery. But the Lord, and it doesn't mean that I advocate those for anybody. I don't advocate that anybody be a Pharisee and persecute the Church of God, Christ like Paul did. But God used that. He prepares because he's sovereign. And so God knew that Abraham would command his children and his household after him because he prepared him to do that. And as we studied that and as we pointed out, you have to do it. And by the grace of God, you will. But it's a struggle. It's a fight. I know him that he will. We fathers have to do what we're supposed to do. Women have to do what they're supposed to do. God knew him that he would command his children and his household after him. We're accountable. We're responsible. That cannot be set aside. You say, well, you know, God's sovereign. Yeah, but you know what? You're still accountable and responsible. You don't have to worry about that. That's kind of like, that's not your business, like Stonewall used to say. You know, duty is ours, consequences are God's. That's not your business. Don't you worry about God. I mean, you can rest in that. Thank God he showed us some of these things. But you're still, this is what you're to be obeying. The revealed will of God. God knew that Abraham would command his children, his household, after him. That he would be the man that God would have him to be. As God prepared him to be. So, number one, for I know him. Number two, that he will command his children and household after him. Number three, that they shall keep the way of the Lord. That they shall keep the way of the Lord. What keep means to retain, to tend, to preserve, to protect. That we're to do those things. Lord doesn't need us to do that, you know. So we better stick up for God. Yeah, he doesn't need us to stick up for him. But he's called us to protect, to defend, to keep the way of the Lord. Proverbs 22, remove not the ancient landmark which thy fathers have set. You know, that's what we're to do. We're to hold to. We're to, as we read it, as the Lord said to Jeremiah, stand ye in the ways and ask for the old paths. Wherein is the good way? Man's not too smart, because until he's been quickened by the Spirit of God, he says, like the folks did at the end of that verse, we will not walk therein. No. That's not very hip. That's not with it. I'm not very PC. That's not very whatever. Well, they, some folks call them all kind of names, probably. But God gave instruction to his people, and he knew that his people would keep the way of the Lord. And we talked about one way in particular. We spent some time looking at the Shema, which is given in Deuteronomy to fathers of Israel. Hear ye, O Israel! The Lord our God is one Lord. Diana's one of the little scrolls around her neck now, but she's not just, you know. It's important to remember those things and you have the reminders, but it's to be as he told the fathers there, and these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. They got to be there first before they can come out and before we can instruct others. And we're to instruct our children as we lie down, as we get up, as we're in our house, as we're going about our business, as we lie down, as what we're told there. And so God says, I know him, that he will command his children and his household after him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord. And not just in your head. The fourth part there, to do justice and judgment. To do justice and judgment. So I believe those things. Yeah, if you don't live them, if you don't tell me you believe them. To do justice and judgment. The proof is in the pudding, they say. It's not the saying. It's not the outward accoutrements or the phylacteries. But it's in the doing. To do justice and judgment. Literally, it's to be righteous and to do righteousness. We're commanded to do. And to do justice and judgment simply means to do and act aright. But it's not so simple. It requires the regeneration of the Spirit. Man won't do and live aright apart from a work of grace, the grace of God in their lives and in their heart. You cannot do it on your own. Folks try. And as I say, they... pulpits will say, well, just believe. Well, just believe. And I never did understand that. How does someone just believe? You know, I wasn't believing before, now I'm going to. It's just like, no, it comes from God. God knew that Abraham would see that his children would adhere to the law of God. He would teach his children discernment. That terrible word that's used as slander today, discrimination. Listen, if you're not discriminating, you're not worth spit. Discriminating means being able to distinguish between things. I can discriminate between white and black, between right and wrong, between good and evil. The world today tells, no, you shouldn't be discriminating. Well, yeah, you should be. Then fallen man, of course, discriminates about things maybe he shouldn't. But that's not the point. God knew that he would teach his children discernment and discrimination. Abraham trusted his family to God and to God's ways. And just a brief example, I'm not going to go into the details, and we're all very familiar with it. God had promised Abraham a seed. He and Sarah had not had children. They longed after a child. Abraham said, this servant of mine is going to inherit everything because I don't have any children. And God promised him a child. And eventually that long-awaited physical seed was fulfilled. And it was fulfilled in God's time. Abraham was a great, great saint, but he wasn't perfect. Abraham got kind of tired waiting. God said, I'm going to give you that. Abraham said, well, maybe I'll help you out a little bit, God. And Sarah said to Abraham, listen, why don't you go into my handmaiden and raise up a son through her. So they resorted to some fleshly means to maybe try to help God out, because God don't seem to be, you know, that's the way man is. And so the story of Hagar and Ishmael, the start of the Arab nations. And we're still reaping the results of that today. If this great man had believed God, had trusted God, and yet what he got in the flesh, that's what happens. But eventually God fulfilled that promise. He said, I'm going to give you and Sarah. Genesis 21. For Sarah conceived. They were old people. Yeah, probably nothing's too hard for God. I don't. For Sarah conceived and bare Abraham a son in his old age. Listen, this is at the set time which God had spoken to him. At the set time. God's timing's always right. Even as the Lord came, we're told in the fullness of time, God sent forth his son. And at the set time, God gave Abraham a son. And Abraham called the name of his son that was born unto him, whom Sarah bare him, Isaac. So, God knew that Abraham would raise up his children, that they would keep the way of the Lord, that they would do justice and judgment. And God sent, in accordance with his promise, God sent Isaac. Continuing on. For I know him, that he will command his children and household after him, that they shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he had spoken of him. God's going to do what he said, and God's going to bring the blessings that he's determined to bring upon his people. And God gave the son, and God entrusted Abraham. And God knew the Lord, again Jehovah, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he hath spoken of him. Listen, God speaks and it's going to happen. Yeah, you can call it unconditional election. Well, folks don't like that either. God would bring upon Abraham that which he has spoken of him. Irresistible grace. Call it what you will. God does it. God knew that he could depend on Abraham because God had empowered him and given him his grace. And God knew that his will would be accomplished through Abraham. God ordained the end. That's how come we know it. God ordained it. God's not this cosmic fortune teller. I sometimes have arguments with a friend. God looked down and he saw what was going to happen and then he ordained it. Or he looked down and saw who would believe on him. And so he chose them. And that's not what the scripture says. God may bring upon Abraham that which he has spoken of him. And as God worked in Abraham's life, and as he saw this son come and fulfillment of God's promise, Abraham knew that he could trust his God. And Abraham was not afraid to trust his son, his beloved son, that son of promise that they so waited for. Abraham knew that he could entrust that beloved son to God. We can do that too. We live in these terrible times. But they're God's times. We live in these wicked times. And we worry about our kids. And we worry about what's going to be done. Listen, we can trust God. Abraham knew that he could trust God. God had fulfilled his promises. Abraham knew he could trust God's plan for his life and for the life of his son. God had made those promises. We read in Genesis 22. I'll have to finish this up next week, I'm sure, but Genesis 22. I could rush through it, but I'm not good at doing that. Maybe we'll get started trying to get back to Galatians eventually too. I'd like to finish up Galatians, but I think you need to address things as they come along too. Some folks get so caught up in this, like it's the shibboleth of our days that expository preaching, and you preach through the book, a passage at a time, and that's not a bad way to preach. And I like to do that in part because it kind of forces you to deal with everything. Maybe there's some things in Galatians that I'd rather not deal with. I'd rather skip over. But I'm preaching through the book. I got to deal with it. So that's a good thing. But by the same token, to just be totally focused on preaching through a book that you don't deal with, the fire that's going on over here. God's people need to know about that too. Okay, I wandered, but God raised up Abraham. God gave him his son. Abraham knew that he could trust God with that most beloved son. Genesis 22, and we'll start on this portion. Heart-rending passage in many ways, and yet again showing God's faithfulness. Genesis 22:1, and it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham. And that speaks of testing Abraham. And God doesn't test people so he'll know what they'll do. Now, God already knows. God tests people so you'll know what you'll do, you see. So you'll know what your mettle is. And it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham and said unto him, Abraham. And he said, Behold, here am I. And he said, Now take thy son, thine only son, Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. You know how that must have pierced the heart of Abraham. How it must have led to, you know, confusion on his part. God had brought Abraham to the point that God knew that Abraham was going to trust him, and Abraham knew that he could trust God. And I'll finish up with this verse, and then we'll get into this more next week. But Abraham knew he could trust God. God said, I'm going to give you a seed. I'm going to give you a lineage. Not just through anybody, but through Isaac. And Abraham said, you know, God promised that he was going to give me a seed for Isaac. And if I go out, he said, it doesn't make sense, but God's going to have to work it out. God will. Anyway, and Abraham, God said, go do this, Abraham. Abraham had learned by this point. He didn't try to figure a way around like Hagar and Ishmael. And Abraham rose up early in the morning and saddled his ass and took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son and clave the wood for the burnt offering and rose up and went unto the place which God had told him. God didn't linger. I mean, Abraham didn't linger. He didn't wait. God rose. Abraham rose up early in the morning, put everything together that was going to be needed. He wasn't lax in his obedience, but he stepped out to carry out the command of God. Well, we go on and we find out about God's faithfulness. You probably already know the end of the story, but you know, we'll get there. God is faithful. God is going to fulfill His word and His promises. And whether you think you can't figure it out, or whether it seems to you, well, this can't end well, all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to His purpose. Yeah, it will end well for us. I'm not so sure about this country. But God didn't give those kind of promises. But He gave it to His elect people. And so we can trust. And by the grace of God, may we learn to be as obedient as Abraham became. And I know I ain't there. But God will give us what we need when we need it. I look at what the saints suffered in the past, and I say, I don't know if I could do that. I couldn't. But when the time comes, God will give you the grace to do it. He promised that too, so you can bank on that. May God make us the men and the women, the fathers and mothers that He would have us to be, that He be glorified, and that He can bless us as He says He would. And He will. But you still got to do it. You still got to do the work. You still got to fight the battles. You still got to engage in the strife. We'll take our hymnals. And we'll close with number 140. Look to the Lamb of God. And I want you again. People sing these same hymns in Armenian churches and whatever. They really don't set them in context. There are no universal invitations in Scripture. You look who this is addressed to. Who is it that's told to look to the Lamb of God? Those who are longing to be free. And a dead man doesn't long for nothing. So those who have been quickened by the Spirit, who see by His grace their need of a Savior. And we'll stand and sing this closing hymn together, number 140. Look to the Lamb of God. Amen.
to redeem. Die on Calvary, look to the Lamb of God. Look to the Lamb of God. Look to the Lamb of God. For He alone is able to save you. Look to the Lamb of God. When Satan tempts
that song pass without, you know, that's really in the context we've been preaching here. I picked these songs way ahead. They're all it, but God's in His sovereignty. Look to the Lamb of God. You know, Abraham's out there with Isaac, and Isaac says, you know, you got the fire and you got the altar, and you got, so where's sacrifice? And Abraham, his son says, behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? And Abraham said, my son, God will provide Himself a lamb. God will provide Himself a lamb. I can't comprehend that love. But I'm glad He made us recipients of it. Father, we thank You for this day, for Your word. Lord, for those saints that went before us in long distant times and in more recent times that You've used to Your glory. Those that stood in the way and asked for the old path, Lord, by Your grace, may that be said of us. May we trust as they did. Father, thank You that You provided Yourself a lamb for Your people, for that only sufficient sacrifice. As Paul told us, the blood of bulls and goats can in no wise wash away sin. The precious blood of Your Son and our Savior. Thank You for each one that's here. Lord, use us in this coming week to Your glory. Help us to be all that You would have us to be. Thank You for our Savior. And we pray in His name. Amen.
Amen.